Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, speaking from the picket line outside Letterkenny University Hospital earlier, Industrial Relations Officer with INMO Maura Hickey says the situation locally is out of control. Meanwhile, it's emerged that none of the beds set to open at Letterkenny University Hospital under the government's winter initiative have yet to open. The Fisheries Minister has told a Donegal deputy that the government remains focused on ensuring an agreement on joint fishing rights between the EU and UK is maintained, and there are renewed calls for action on the Garda station in Carndonagh. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Gardaí believe a missing teenager from Drogheda may be in Donegal. 16-year-old Samuel Malossi was last seen in the Drogheda area on January the 10th. He's described as being 5'8" in height, with black hair of a slim build and with brown eyes. Gardaí say Samuel could be in the Ballybuffet area. Anyone with information on his whereabouts are being asked to contact Gardaí in Drogheda. The HSE says it's concerned about the risk to patient safety as the nurses' strike continues across the country. Significant delays are being experienced in emergency departments and people are being urged to stay away. Further disruption is expected tomorrow as the health service gets back up and running following the action of 37,000 INMO members. Teams from the HSE and the union are holding hourly meetings to try to limit the impact on patients. The HSE's National Director of Acute Operations, Liam Woods, says there's a greater risk to safety in our hospitals today.
Clearly, the cancellation of some procedures and indeed some derogations for some areas that are still working normally have helped maintain a level of service and a level of safety. But in reality, without full staff complements, we are concerned that there is a greater risk than would be normal in our hospital and wider health environment. So the sooner we're back to full staffing and normal throughput tomorrow morning, the better.
And today is the first in a series of planned one-day actions by the INMO, with nurses saying they are committed to continuing the action for as long as it takes. Speaking from the picket line outside Letterkenny University Hospital earlier today, Industrial Relations Officer with the INMO, Maura Hickey, says the situation locally is out of control.
Remember, they are there 24/7 when everybody else is at home in their bed. They cannot say, when they're pushed with patients on corridors and in treatment rooms, ran out of time, we'll see patient tomorrow. They do not have that luxury. And they are 24/7. And what we are looking for is, we are looking for parity with the allied professionals at the entry grade, because if you pay nurses appropriately, they won't leave to go to the USA, they won't go to Canada. There will always be a small percentage who want to travel, but they will stay, because it's not just the young nurses we are losing. We are losing experienced nurses to countries where they will have a 35 or a 37-hour week, where they will have longer holidays, where they will not be called in on their day off or on their annual leave, and they won't feel that they're under pressure or they're letting colleagues down or letting patients down. Sorry, Greg, just to say, you need your rest days to recuperate, to go back in, to face the same situation that you're facing every day. And the problem for the nurses and midwives in Letterkenny here is, every day they go into ED, it's overcrowded. There's patients in the treatment room, there's patients on corridors, on trolleys, and it's not safe. And the government stands over that every single day, as does the Department of Health and Minister Pascal Donoghue. And because we're making a stand for our members, all of a sudden, safety is a big issue. There is nobody advocates on behalf of nurses, on behalf of the patients and the population of Donegal, more than the nurses and midwives.
And a still waiting health campaign protest is being held outside Letterkenny University Hospital this evening at 5:30. Meanwhile, it's emerged that none of the beds set to open at Letterkenny University Hospital under the government's winter initiative have opened. The Health Minister announced that 75 beds were due to open at a number of facilities across the country, 5 at Letterkenny University Hospital. However, to date, just 40 have come into operation. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says it's clear the government is continuing to ignore the crisis in the country's hospitals.
We weren't happy with the announcement of just 5 beds under the winter initiative, but I have to say I'm really quite shocked today, the response given to Louise O'Reilly, my party's health spokesperson, that none of these beds have opened. And indeed, there was an announcement of about 80 beds at national level, and only half of them have opened, but a number of hospitals, including Letterkenny, none. And this just isn't good enough. This is just not the response we need to the crisis that we have.
And indeed, as you say, that there was just 5 beds that were going to open at Letterkenny University Hospital. So in the grand scheme of things, this wasn't much, and it was the least that could have happened.
Oh, indeed. I mean, 5 was under-ambitious, to say the least. We would have expected that those beds would have opened. I mean, all over Christmas up until today, I am repeatedly speaking to families telling me about their experiences, and of course I'm speaking to hospital staff telling me about what they're having to endure. I mean, at this stage they have lost faith in the political system, understandably, but as a public representative for the people of Donegal, I have to keep challenging and raising these issues, and we will not stop, all of us as public representatives in Donegal, until we get the beds open. That's the 20 in its short stay ward, and indeed these 5 beds need to be opened.
The EU and the Irish government have ruled out any changes to the backstop. British Prime Minister Theresa May is looking for more concessions on the measures that's aimed at avoiding a hard border with Northern Ireland. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The British Prime Minister claims to have 3 possible alternatives to the backstop deal that MPs rejected last night, but Taoiseach Simon Coveney isn't convinced.
There are currently no alternative arrangements which anybody has put forward which achieve what both sides are determined to achieve, to avoid a hard border.
Neither is the Taoiseach.
I do not know what those alternative arrangements are. We've been down that track before, and I don't believe that such alternative arrangements exist.
And the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker couldn't be more clear.
The debate and votes in the House of Commons yesterday do not change that. The withdrawal agreement will not be renegotiated.
So Theresa May seems to be on a speculative trip to Brussels to come up with some solution, and the uncertainty about what exactly that might be continues. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, Fisheries Minister Michael Creed says the government remains focused on ensuring an agreement on joint fishing rights between the EU and the UK is maintained. However, responding to dull questions from Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher this afternoon, Minister Creed said while the risk of a hard Brexit remains, no guarantees can be given. Minister Creed said the intention was that fishing rights would be central to a negotiated trade agreement after Brexit, but if there is not a withdrawal deal, compensation may be necessary. Deputy Gallagher said if access issues are not addressed, an emergency fund will be vital.
The Council and the Parliament have agreed to give UK vessels rights, but there's no guarantee that we will have reciprocal rights. So it's vitally important that the Minister works with 8 like-minded countries in order to ensure that it's an emergency fund. And perhaps the Minister might advise when he is responding why there was no reference to fish in the Brexit Contingency Action Plan of the 19th of December.
The wisdom of Solomon wouldn't suffice to tell us at this stage what the UK's ultimate course of action is going to be. But we remain entirely focused on what is possible in the context of our engagement with our EU partners. But we have to be brutally honest about it. In terms of a hard Brexit, UK crashing out, we didn't avoid the desirability of a transition period, a negotiated future trading relationship, wherein it was our ambition to link trade with access to UK waters. So what the course of action the UK adopts if it were to crash out is unclear. They haven't issued any guarantees of future access to their waters.
Minister.
And in that context, it's imperative that we prepare for all scenarios, including adequate financial resources and compensation from the European Commission.
Temperatures look set to drop to -4 in some areas tonight as the cold snap continues. A standard shell of snow and ice warning remains in place until Saturday, with more hail, sleet and snow showers forecast. Many parts of Donegal were impacted this morning as a result of overnight snow, and motorists are being warned to watch out for icy and frosty conditions. Head of forecasting at Met Éireann, Evelyn Cusack, says there will be more snow, but it's unlikely to stick. There are renewed calls for action on the Garda station in Carndonagh. The current station has been deemed unfit for a purpose by Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn, with concerns over health and safety and station security raised in the past. Coupled with this, the station is only open on a limited basis, with Gardaí based there often called to assist colleagues in Bunkrana. Councillor Albert Doherty says with such uncertainty surrounding Brexit and the possibility of the need for more policing in border areas, now is the time for the issue to be addressed.
Since a visit by a local sergeant on behalf of the Garda in relation to a site that is available, and into really no progress with the state's management or the OPW about coming to meet with the local representatives in Ishawn, after all of us pushing for that, and something in particular that I had highlighted since last summer.
Now, with 2 months to go until Brexit and all the uncertainty that surrounds that, one of the claims made locally is that Gardaí, more Gardaí indeed, may be needed in Donegal to patrol border areas. Not really good enough, I suppose, from your point of view, Karen Donna. Gardaí station in its current state wouldn't be able to fit any more Gardaí in it.
No, and there are two issues I wish to highlight there. I believe that Gardaí and Garda management has to accept that there must be less of an onus on the community and a more positive commitment to the community, from the Gardaí, from the personnel in charge, right up to Mr. Drew Harris. And then we have even suggested at the last meeting to see the conditions that his members are working in, and to see the conditions that the local public don't have that's acceptable in the community, and to see the haphazard way where in my own town in Carndonagh, an individual from Malinhead, Clonmany, may wish to come to do business in our town, but that Garda could be called away by his colleagues in Bunkrana. So community policing is a void, and as you say, with the onslaught of whatever's going to come from the Brexit and the fallout, we need to see evidence of community policing in every district.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny.
It's 14 minutes past five, and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer. Virgil van Dijk is Liverpool's main concern ahead of tonight's Premier League meeting with Leicester at Anfield. The influential centre-half has been recovering from an illness picked up during their training trip to Dubai. A Liverpool win tonight will move them 7 points clear of title rivals Manchester City. They need a late James Milner goal to beat Crystal Palace in their last match 11 days ago. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says this evening's encounter could be as testing.
It will not be easy as well. Like the last game was not easy, but it's all about squeezing everything out of the players, and that we can really perform good enough to win that game.
Tottenham will lie just 2 points behind Manchester City if they beat Watford at Wembley this evening. Juventus legend Higuain is set to make his Premier League debut in Chelsea's game at Bournemouth. Just goal difference separates struggling Southampton and Crystal Palace ahead of their meeting at St Mary's. Celtic will look to make the most of their game in hand in the Scottish Premiership tonight. A win at home to St Johnstone will move the leaders 6 points clear of nearest challengers Rangers and Kilmarnock. Manager Brendan Rodgers' side have been dealing with a hectic schedule at the moment. Coleraine have announced the signing of Dean Shields on an 18-month contract. The experienced midfielder becomes Rodney McAree's sixth addition to the club during the January transfer window. The 33-year-old recently left Derry City. Finn Harps duo Luke McGlynn and Conor Campbell were involved with Ireland's under-15s today in Spain. In the first of the games in the Invitational Tournament, Ireland lost to the host in penalties. The game finished 1-1 with Spain winning 4-1 in spot kicks. Ireland's next game is on Friday against the Netherlands. Elsewhere, Harps under-19 player Michael Gallagher has been called into the Republic squad for a training camp next week. The Irish are preparing for the Euro qualifiers in March. Gallagher was captain of friendly against Wales last year. Finn Harps' new signing, Harry Ashcroft, is excited about the new Premier Division campaign, which starts against Bohemians in 2 weeks' time. The Australian-born 23-year-old central defender, who can also play at right-back, joined from Maltese Premier League side Balzan. He started his professional career in Holland and was capped at under-20 level with Australia. Playing in the Premier Division was a huge influence on the decision to move to Ballybuffet.
That was a main factor that contributed to my decision coming here, playing top flight football in Europe. I've had a couple of players that have played in Ireland that have told me, you know, only good things about it. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. pre-season's pre-season, so it's always going to be difficult. You know, but luckily I've come from being in season, so I haven't been too bad. But, you know, it's about getting the body right and, you know, forming relationships with players and gelling as a team.
And that's it from the Highland Sports Desk for today. Back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, it's reported that there are so many applications being made for Irish passports north of the border that there is a shortage of application forms in a number of post offices. That's led to renewed calls for the establishment of a passport office in Northern Ireland by the Irish government. A Sinn Féin-led online petition for such a development has seen almost 12,000 signatures, and Derry City and Strabane District Councillor Sharon Duddy says this time these calls were heeded. She believes Derry would be an ideal location.
We have called in the past for a passport office in the north, but we are seeing a massive demand here now. And it obviously has, Brexit has had an impact on that. So there was 84,000 applications last year alone. From Christmas, I've seen a massive demand within my own constituency. The need is here. People are demanding it. And I think it's time now for the Irish government to invest here.
The point's been made as well that if you locate such an office somewhere like Derry or like Omagh, you'll also have populations in Donegal, in Cavan and Monaghan who will use those offices as well. So whereas it may be based geographically in Northern Ireland, it's an office that would serve a much wider community than that.
It absolutely would. At the moment, people here who are having difficulty with their passport, having to travel to Dublin, it's ridiculous that people are made to do that. And as you say, a passport office, obviously we're calling for Derry. I think it makes more sense with being geographical and the proximity to the border, and it would serve a massive amount of people.
An initial councillor says Donegal County Council could do significant work to boost flood prevention measures if it were given the clearance and resources necessary to do so. Following the August 2017 floods, several ministers visited the area, but Fine Gael councillor Bernard McGuinness says many of the promises and commitments made were not followed through. Both he and councillor Jack Murray had motions this week calling for more investment from the OPW. Councillor McGuinness says the amount so far has been less than adequate.
It's absolutely scandalous. We haven't had more. I know there are Shannon areas and others were flooded year after year, but that doesn't mean we should be forgotten about. And there is major work to be done here. And a lot of farmers would, in fact, be quite happy to go and clean the rivers themselves, but they're not allowed, and there's nobody there to oversee that work.
Immediately after the floods, there was a succession of ministers, senior officials and others came to the county, visited, said the right things, made the right noises. There's question marks over whether the follow-up since then has been as comprehensive as is necessary. Was it?
No, it wasn't. And all of those government ministers and people were my party, and I have made no hesitation in saying that the follow-up has not been as good as it should be. All I'm asking for is the OPW to allow Donegal County Council to do the work. And they're quite capable of doing the work if they get the permission and the money, of course.
And a new IFA chairperson is to be elected on February the 12th, marking the end of Michael Chance's term as county chairman. Mr. Chance has been chairman since 2015, and in that short time has seen such developments and trials as the Inishowen floods, fodder crisis, the emergence and developments on Brexit. The Donegal IFA AGM is being held in the Clonry Hotel in Letterkenny on Tuesday, February the 12th at 8 p.m. Speaking ahead of the meeting, Michael Chance has been reflecting on his tenure.
I suppose we had the whole kick-up not long after I came in with the payments and salaries and Pat Smith and all that. Like, there's still work to do in bringing IFA more up to date and more in touch with its members. A lot of work to do, so I'm sure Brendan will be working at that.
Weather now, cold today with frost, ice and lying snow lingering in some areas. Very cold tonight with some freezing fog in places and lowest temperatures of -3 to -6 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí believe a missing teenager from Drogheda may be in Donegal. 16-year-old Samuel Malossi was last seen in the Drogheda area on January the 10th. The HSE says it's concerned about the risk to patient safety as the nurses' strike continues across the country. Significant delays are being experienced in emergency departments and people are being urged to stay away. There are renewed calls for action on the Garda station in Carndonagh. The current station has been deemed unfit for purpose by Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn, with concerns over health and safety and station security raised in the past. And Fisheries Minister Michael Creed says the government remains focused on ensuring an agreement on joint fishing rights between the EU and the UK is maintained. However, responding to Dáil questions from Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher this afternoon, Minister Creed said while the risk of a hard Brexit remains, no guarantees can be given. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 30th of January. The death has occurred of Michelle Gallagher, Rigg's End, Dublin and Core Point, Letchermeckle Ward. Her remains will repose at Midlin's funeral home tomorrow from 4pm with rosary at 9pm. Removal on Friday morning at 11:30, going to St Bridget's Church, Letchermeckle Ward for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by cremation at Lakeland Crematorium in Cavan on Saturday with service at 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Ross Stevenson, Bucht Road, Ochnish, Rimeltham. His remains will repose at his home from 7:30 this evening. Funeral service in Rimeltham Presbyterian Church on Friday at 12 noon with burial afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Rimeltham. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the RNLI, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Brian Boner, Shramarchin, Gwydor. His remains are reposing at Gwydor Funeral Home and will do so again tomorrow from 3pm. Rosary nightly at 9pm. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, on Friday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Coronary Care Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Colum Gillespie, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Harvey Mervyn, 9 Iona Terrace. Funeral leaving his home at 9 Iona Terrace on Friday at 12 noon for service in All Saints Church, Cluny at 12:30, followed by burial in Clay Parish Church, Carrigans. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to All Saints Cluny Church, care of Mrs. Helen Henderson, 5 Manning Way, Londonderry. The death has occurred of Ina Sweeney, Legland, Drumkeen. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Kathleen's home in Stralongford. Funeral Mass on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, with interment afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Margaret O'Hagan, late of 81 Main Street, Sion Mills. Removal from Quigley's funeral home, Strabane, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, going to St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 10, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Anne Boner, Capri, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening until rosary at 10 o'clock and tomorrow Thursday from 11 o'clock until rosary at 10. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate's Turnorder with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of William Caldwell Hemphill, 3 Rosdean Road, Castle Derg. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service will take place at his home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, followed by interment in Castle Derg New Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie, care of Harran Funeral Directors, Castle Derg. The death has taken place of Lawrence McBride, late of Cluny Gardens, Claddy, and formerly of Rafoe. His remains are reposing at his daughter Mary McBride's home, 81 Ash Lawn, Letterkenny. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Drumahull at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Melmount Manor Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. And the death has occurred of Bobby Dobson, 10 Beechwood Road, New Line Road, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at St Eunan's Cathedral. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Archview Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Con McDade and Son Funeral Directors.